Praise the Lord. Here we are today. Yeah, we're here. We're going to have a testimony today. We've got a great testimony to tell you about today. First of all, I'm going to let the Ellison family introduce themselves to you so you'll know who they are. I want each one of them to give their name and where they're from. Would you please at this time tell us who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, hello, folks. My name is Dale Ellison, and my family and I, we live in Hobart, Indiana. It's on the north side of Indiana. We're just passing through here. Had some business down in Texas, and coming by with Brother Thurman here to sit in with him for a while and talk with him for a little bit.
Tell us who your wife is.
My wife is Dawn.
Dawn, okay.
Yeah. And my son, Eric.
And your son, Eric. Okay, so this is the Ellison family. So how long, Bill, have you been a Christian?
12 years old.
12 years old.
Yeah.
What kind of a church have you been attending?
In my younger days, Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a church did you attend?
It was a Southern Baptist.
Also Southern
I went
Baptist.
Down. I started going to church with my grandmother from Alabama.
And praise the Lord for good grandmothers, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I will say that, Eric, tell us when you became a born-again Christian.
I really didn't go to church very much, but when you came in and prayed for my son, I started going back to church again. Okay.
You remember that night standing in the hall? That's the first thing we did was talk to you about Jesus. And out there in that hallway, you became a born-again Christian right there in the hallway. You may remember that, Dale?
Oh, I remember that.
That
yes,
man, yeah. And after the circumstances that brought us together, I might ask y'all, or you, tell me a little bit about what you remember, Eric, about when you and your dad and your mother and your wife were standing in the hallway that night on October the 15th of the year 2001. What were the circumstances? Why were you in Cook's Medical Center? What was wrong with your child?
My son's brain was swelling pretty badly. The doctor said that he was going to die on me.
You remember exactly how... When the two doctors came out and talked to you and your parents, tell us basically what the doctor said was the chances for your child living.
Zero.
Yeah, because zero, they said something like that your son was already 95% brain dead. Is that right?
Yep. There was, if he did make it, he would be nothing. He'd just lay there and not move. The machine would do everything. Feed, breathe, that's it.
Wow, that's a pretty bad diagnosis, isn't it? Hand the mic back to your dad. Dale, what did you think about that at that point? Where were you? What were your thoughts, I might say, at that point?
My thoughts were, oh, my goodness. I just had come down from Indiana. I loaded the truck the day before in Chicago. Drove all night, 1,100 miles to get down there, and then see that baby, that child, in the shape he was in. He said he was 95% brain blackened, totally brain dead. And I just thought they want the chance. There's no way. There was no way. They had that baby wired up, and there was just no way the baby's going to live. We went into the chapel there at the hospital and prayed and prayed and prayed. The next morning, he called us back into the room. Dr. Marks, he called us back into the room. Got the whole family, his new wife, her side that come down from Indiana, and our family that come down from Indiana. Got the whole family together and says, point blank, you better start making funeral arrangements that the child is not going to make it. The baby is brain dead, and if the baby lived, well, he'd be a vegetable. Resuscitate, I guess, if they took the baby off the machine, just let it be. Don't plug the machine back in. It was that bad.
Yeah.
It was that bad that they didn't want to bring the baby back.
What did you think, Dawn, whenever you were told that by the doctor? Did you have any thoughts, or what did you think was going to happen at this point?
I wasn't for sure what was going to happen, but I kind of did a no-no. I was mad at God for
I remember that.
And I kind of lashed out at him. But then, later on, when I got to sit down and be quiet by myself, where I can really talk to him, I talked to him, and we got our stuff together now.
Yes.
We got it all back together.
I remember. I might say that since you just said that. I remember that night. I had forgotten that completely until you made that statement. How when I asked you if you were a Christian, you said, yes, I am, but I am mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
And you were upset at God. And I told you, I said, well, now's not a time to be mad at God. Now's a good time to be glad with the Lord, because we need him more right now than
mm-hmm.
anything. And, of course, I might ask y'all at this point before we tell the story about the miracle the Lord did. Had y'all ever seen the Lord do a miracle before?
I haven't.
You have never seen a miracle
no,
by the Lord.
No, sir, sure
haven't. And y'all been in and out of church all your life, and you
yes,
say
sir.
You're in your mid-40s or late 40s
mm-hmm.
and have never seen the Lord do a miracle. So you didn't realize how real God was, did you, Bill?
That's right.
But I might say that as I sat there, the very first thing I did when I found out that the baby belonged to this boy, after I asked you all if you were Christians, and you said you were, but you didn't go to church very much. You were an over-the-road truck driver. You were busy all the time. And, of course, Don, you said you didn't go very much either because your husband was gone a lot. So anytime I hear a family that says they don't go to church very much, but they're Christians, I know they probably don't spend much time with God in the Word, so we know so little about His Word.
You're absolutely right. I didn't read the Bible a lot, or you know, like I said, faith comes by hearing, mm-hmm. and I did not listen to Christian radio shows. It was rock and roll or oldies or whatever. I didn't have, you know what it was, Thurman? I didn't have time. I'll tell you, I didn't have time for God. Mm-hmm. That is the truth.
Yeah.
And brother, now I do. I have seen a miracle happen. It had such a great impact on my life and my family's life and all the family back up north on their lives. The whole family right now is going to church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The whole family. Can't wait till Sunday comes to go to church.
Amen.
That's a miracle.
In other words, a miracle from the King has a tendency to change your life.
Yes, sir. He sure did.
Six people coming together. We started off with like six people in our family going. Now we've got two complete rows of people coming.
Two complete pews.
The Lord really got y'all's attention, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I must say that Eric didn't even know Christ until that night, October the 15th, when I had the privilege to lead this boy to Jesus. And after I got him saved, every time I've had the privilege to talk to him on the phone, he's had lots of good things to say about Jesus. And he said he's going to church, studying the Word, listening to tapes, and all kinds of things. You know a lot more about the Lord now than you did 7 months ago, don't you, Eric?
Yes.
Yeah, so has it changed your life very much?
Yes, it has.
It changes the way you think. It changes the way you do everything, doesn't it? Well, let me tell now the story as we're here. Let me tell the story in detail. So the night I met this family on October the 15th, the year 2001, they had just been given this diagnosis by two doctors at Cook's Medical Center just outside of the PICU ward. Mm-hmm. And the doctors had just told them that their Eric's son, which was 2.5 months old, if I remember right, that it was all over for the baby. And when I asked if y'all were Christians, and you said you were, and of course I had the privilege to lead Eric to the Lord, I told him now that he had come to know Christ, his sins were all washed away, and he'd been made a brand new creature in Christ. He would never be in better shape than he was right then for a miracle. Because when God saves us, he washes away all of our sins and makes us new creatures in Christ.
Amen.
You were washed white by the blood of Jesus. So I took you and your little wife, and best I remember, you were 21, is that right? You're
22.
You're 22 now?
No, I'm 23 now.
Oh, 23 now. Okay, so you were 22 then.
22.
And your wife was about 19 or 20, best I remember. And so we walked into that room where your little baby was laying, and there's that little guy laying there, totally lifeless, almost totally brain dead. And the doctors had told you he couldn't live. And I walked in and I told Eric, I said, Eric, now that you're the spiritual authority of this child, if you'll give me that spiritual authority for a few minutes, I'm going to pray over your baby. And you said something like, well, what are you going to do? And I opened my Bible to Mark chapter 16, verse 18, and I read one verse, half of the verse. I said, look right here, Eric. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And I said, now, he looked at that. Now, whether he remembers that or not, I don't know. But he looked at that and he said, that's what it says. And I said, and son, that's what he means. So I took those two fingers and I reached over and laid them on the tummy of his little tiny 2.5-month-old baby. And I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Then I said, thank you, Father, for your word, which is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be broken. So then I turned back to Eric and his lovely bride. And I said, I guarantee you kids that your son will live and not die because Jesus made you the promise. And I turned and walked off. And the next afternoon when I came by the hospital, the little wife, Misty. Misty, she came and got me and she said, Mr. Scrivener, would you come over here? I want to show you something. And I went over there and there she showed me y'all's son. She said, he is well. He is doing great. Said this morning, he pulled the tubes out of himself and said, he's doing fine, and said, they're fixing to let us out of ICU within an hour. And y'all went out of ICU, and the next day, best I remember, y'all went home. And the little guy must be about August the 17th.
So he's almost a year old now.
Almost a year old. Yeah, he just, we don't like much. That's right. 10 months.
That morning when,
give him the mic.
That morning when he pulled, I think it was that morning when he pulled the tubes out, I took him to a little red wagon and went upstairs to the second or third floor. It's like a recovery room. Mm-hmm. That's the last room before he goes home with his mama.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord, I'll tell you what, from ICU, wired up like the little guy was.
Yeah.
To the recovery room.
In one day. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So as we saw the Lord raise up y'all's baby and heal him within a matter of 12 hours.
Yes, sir.
From the time we prayed for him, or the time I laid my hands on him in the name of Jesus, in 12 hours the little guy was pulling the tubes out, and that afternoon he was let out of ICU, and the next day y'all went home, and he's been growing and doing fine.
Sure has.
Ever since then.
Home with his mama right now.
And
yes, sir.
One thing that it did, like you said, you had never seen a miracle, so you
never
really studied much about the Lord.
No, sir.
But from that day to this, Dale, it has made a tremendous change in the way you live, hasn't it?
A major impact.
I'll
tell you, Thurman, like I was telling Jim earlier, all I listen to when I'm driving 15, 20,000 miles a month is strictly Christian channels on the radio, different things on TV, where it's Pastor Hager, Kenneth Copeland, Crepo Dollar. I can go on and on and on, and it's just had such an impact on myself and my family. Can't wait for church every Sunday. Can't wait to go. Wednesday night, we're there too, brother. Just can't wait for it. I mean, it's just such a big impact on our family. We've seen a miracle happen from Jesus Christ, and he is very much real.
Yes.
He's very much alive.
I might like, right at the end of this testimony, I'd like for you to hand the mic to your wife, and just if you have any further words or anything you'd like to say, Dawn, how this has impacted your life. Do you have anything extra you'd like to say?
No, I just, you know, we've got our son with us and the Lord with us, and it's made a world of difference at our home.
All you can say is praise the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
The whole family, there was more family that was here with us now. The whole family was down here from Indiana.
They all knew the safety was there.
They seen a miracle. They the whole family, takes up two church pews in church.
Amen.
Every Sunday. Can't wait for it to happen, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, all I can say is all we can do is just praise the Lord Jesus, because not only was your
Amen.
Son there,
Amen.
But this little lady right
this
here was in
was
ICU.
Too.
That's why
yes,
I was
sir,
there.
Me.
Because she was laying in there, and they said she couldn't live either. And she had her brain stem severed, and her face was torn all to pieces. And you saw her.
I saw her when she was in there.
And she was, they said it was impossible for her to live. But the same faith that raised yours from the dead raised
that's
this one
right.
from the dead.
He sure did.
Both of them are going to die.
And look at her now. Yeah. Just a sweet little thing.
That just goes
it's
to show you
miracle.
What faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will do.
Yes,
it?
Sir. Amen.
We praise him and thank him for the answer.
We sure do.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
You want to say a last statement there, Eric?
Yeah, I appreciate what you've done, and pray to God. Thank you.
Thank the Lord. It's such a privilege to be an instrument that can be used by our King to change people's lives. And I worship him and praise him because he's changed y'all's entire life from that miracle. Glory. We praise the King.